You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Friday, July 31st, 2026. Go with the flow. Major changes disrupting global crude oil and refined product flows. Published by Lisa Scheidler. Since early 2026, crude oil and refined product flows have been fundamentally rerouted both within the U.S. and around the world, with more changes still to come. The disruption of traffic through the Strait of Hormuz and sweeping changes in Venezuela's export strategy have dramatically reshaped trade flows in just 6 months. At the same time, refinery closures along the U.S. West Coast and new product pipelines headed there will send barrels down paths they haven't traditionally traveled, reshaping both domestic and even global markets in the process. In today's RBN blog, we look at these major shifts and what they could mean going forward. Most recently, in Waiting on the World to Change, we discussed our newly released Future of Fuels report, which forecasts lower global crude oil prices and a potential rollback in U.S. production in the next few years. Today's blog offers another look at some of the key developments examined in our report. Three issues stand out: the Strait of Hormuz, Venezuela, and plans for a new wave of pipelines into the West Coast have already shaken up the market in a big way, with more changes to come. We'll tackle them one at a time. As we've addressed in the RBN blogosphere, the Trump administration's actions against Iran and the subsequent closure of the Strait of Hormuz seriously impacted global crude and product markets, not least of which is the massive Pacific Basin fuels market. With the strait now substantially blocked for almost all of the past 4+ months, see Eyes of the Ranger, large volumes of Persian Gulf crude oil, LPG, naphtha and refined products bound for Asia were suddenly stranded, forcing refiners in South Korea, India and elsewhere to cut runs and curb gasoline and jet fuel exports. See 2 out of 3 ain't bad. As of late July, with on-and-off hostilities between the U.S. and Iran, the strait's outlook continues to be uncertain, with the picture seemingly changing by the day. U.S. gasoline, diesel and jet fuel exports have helped plug part of the hole left by disrupted Persian Gulf flows. An interim deal between the U.S. and Iran in June briefly calmed tensions, and crossings rebounded sharply later that month, but it did not last. Even during periods when the Strait of Hormuz has technically remained open, traffic has been sparse and vulnerable to disruption. The week of July 6 highlighted that reality, and it's been uncertain since that time. Three tankers were struck by projectiles or drones on July 7, leading the U.S. to revoke the temporary license that had allowed Iranian oil sales under the ceasefire agreement and launch a new round of strikes against Iran. Vessel traffic quickly thinned out. Before the conflict, there were typically 130 to 135 ships daily, counting inbound and outbound traffic. On July 8, when President Trump declared the ceasefire over, Keplor recorded just 24 tanker transits, including inbound and outbound movements. In a normal year, roughly 20 million barrels per day of crude oil, condensate and refined products move through the strait, equivalent to about one-fifth of global petroleum liquids consumption. Another 20% of global LNG trade also passes through the corridor. But when a lasting resolution eventually occurs, the flows won't change overnight. Physical damage from the war will limit the region's export capacity for years. Qatar Energy's LNG facility at Ras Laffan could take up to 5 years to be fully repaired. Gas facilities in Iran, Saudi Arabia and the UAE were also hit, along with ports across multiple countries and refineries in Bahrain, Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia and the UAE. The countries most affected by the closure have already made investments and strategic plans to mitigate potential impacts of future closures, so there will be some residual long-term changes in flows even after all the damage is repaired and passage through the strait returns to a pre-war normal. Next, we'll address another major change in flows resulting from U.S. intervention in Venezuela. In January, President Nicolas Maduro was removed by U.S. forces. Whether the country once again becomes a safe place for long-term investment, especially the tens of billions of dollars needed to revitalize the energy industry, remains highly uncertain, but crude oil production and exports are rising, with many of those barrels finding their way to U.S. refiners. We discuss the developments there in a pair of drill-down reports, Start Me Up and Round and Round. Exports of Venezuelan crude oil have sharply rebounded since the start of the year. Shipments bottomed out near 100,000 barrels per day in early January following a steep December decline, then recovered to roughly 500 to 550,000 barrels per day by late January. After holding relatively flat through February, Exports climbed to around 1.1 million barrels per day in March before spiking to around 1.4 million barrels per day in April, and have hovered around 700,000 barrels per day to 1 million barrels per day since then. As noted in our newest Future of Fuels report, the rebound reflects a mix of policy and market shifts. The Trump administration replaced sanctions with a looser framework that allows more structured sales, opening the door for new buyers. Venezuelan crude has returned to the U.S. market, and Indian refiners have also stepped in as key customers for the heavy barrels, which fit well in the refineries in both countries. This has concurrently resulted in fewer volumes flowing to China. Processing heavy Venezuelan crude grades requires refineries to have deep conversion capabilities, primarily delayed cokers, although simpler asphalt refineries also have an appetite for the heaviest grades. In addition to the deep conversion capabilities, Venezuelan crude also requires other more complex refining equipment than lighter crudes, including more hydrotreating and sulfur handling capacities, making it a good fit for U.S. Gulf Coast plants that have invested in such facilities. U.S. imports of Venezuelan crude soared to 713,000 barrels per day for the week ended May 15, the highest since July 2018, and have been at 400,000 barrels per day or above every week since late April, according to Energy Information Administration, or EIA, data. Venezuelan crude imports have trended steadily higher in 2026 as Gulf Coast refiners have increased their purchases of heavy sour barrels, tightening global supply balances amid ongoing disruptions in the Middle East. As discussed in our weekly crude billboard report, U.S. refiners continue to run hard and prioritize distillate production, increasing demand for heavier feedstocks that can maximize diesel and jet fuel yields. Another major shift in flows has been the transformation underway on the U.S. West Coast, largely due to local regulatory developments, primarily environmentally driven, which have negatively impacted the economics of operating regional refineries. As a result of these developments, the West Coast has seen several significant refinery closures and conversions in recent years, while at the same time renewables facilities have been added and major pipeline projects are moving forward to increase product supplies into the region. As some of the refineries closed, they were partially converted into producing the renewables incentivized by Low Carbon Fuel Standards, or LCFS, enacted in each of the West Coast states, most significantly California. This has resulted in the West Coast actually growing longer on petroleum diesel as it was substantially replaced by renewable diesel, or RD, in regional markets, while the loss of gasoline and jet fuel production due to the closures has led to more imports of those products. The new Future of Fuels report includes a detailed forecast of these changing balances within the region through 2050. California has lost about 570,000 barrels per day of conventional refining capacity from closures or conversions in the past few years, resulting in a significant supply drop in an already constrained market. These losses are driving a structural shift. Total imports of transportation fuels into PADD 5 have stepped up following the recent refinery losses. Imports in 2024 generally ranged from 120 to 220,000 barrels per day for most of the year, but moved higher in 2025, reaching just over 300,000 barrels per day in the fall as the market scrambled to replace lost in-region gasoline and jet production. Imports so far this year have been well above the prior year level, suggesting that a greater dependence on imports was not a one-off event even before the Iran war began. As we mentioned earlier, these increases in imports are coming exclusively from growing regional gasoline and jet fuel deficits. Due to the increased replacement of petroleum diesel by RD, exports of diesel have grown over the past few years, from 67,000 barrels per day in 2022 to an expected average of 125,000 barrels per day in 2026. As these refineries have closed down and regional gasoline and jet fuel deficits have grown, several companies are seeing opportunities and are proposing new pipelines that could shake things up. ONEOK's proposed Sunbelt Connector would bring Price Advantage PADD 3, or the Gulf Coast, barrels to Arizona. The 24-inch diameter Greenfield pipeline would run from El Paso, Texas, to the Phoenix area, and connect to the company's existing refined products pipeline system across Texas and Oklahoma. The new pipe would have an initial capacity of 200,000 barrels per day when it is expected to come online in mid-2029, but its capacity could be increased significantly if demand warrants. While this doesn't go all the way to California, it could reduce Arizona's dependence on fuel shipped east from Southern California refineries, potentially freeing up more California production for in-state consumption. Phillips 66 and Kinder Morgan's planned Western Gateway project is a 1,300-mile pipeline that would enable refined products flows from as far away as St. Louis to Southern California, connecting major P66 refineries in Wood River, Illinois, just outside of St. Louis, Ponca City, Oklahoma, and Borger, Texas, to West Coast markets. The refined products that flow west on Western Gateway would also have connectivity to the booming Las Vegas market via Kinder Morgan's 566-mile, 14- and 8-inch Calneva pipeline, which transports gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel from Los Angeles area refineries and marine terminals to terminals in Barstow, California, and Las Vegas and the Nellis and Edwards Air Force bases. This project would also have an initial capacity of 200,000 barrels per day and a targeted startup date of 2029. The dramatic change in flows isn't a phase. It's the new normal, and it's not slowing down. As the age-old saying goes, the only constant in life is change. Staying on top of it isn't optional. It's essential. Our biannual Future of Fuels report, which was just published, takes a deep dive into these trends and disruptions, giving you the context and numbers you need to make sense of where fuels markets are headed over the next 25 years. Go With The Flow was written by Josh Ohm and Nick Oliveri and appears as the eighth song on Queens of the Stone Age's, Katsa, third studio album, Songs for the Deaf. The song describes acceptance of moving on and the search for meaning and purpose in life. It is the only single from the album to feature Gene Troutman, not Dave Grohl, on drums. Released as a single in April 2003, it went to number 7 on the Billboard Alternative Airplay Singles chart. The video for the song, directed by the British animation collective Shinola, won Best Special Effects at the 2003 MTV Video Music Awards. Personnel on the record were Josh Ohm, lead vocals, guitar, Nick Oliveri, bass, backing vocals, and Gene Troutman, drums. Songs for the Deaf was recorded between October 2001 and April 2002 at the site in San Rafael, Conway in Los Angeles, and Barefoot in Hollywood. Produced by Josh Ohm, Eric Valentine, and Adam Casper, it was released in August 2002 and went to number 17 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart. It has been certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America. It was the first Katsa album to feature Dave Grohl on drums and the last featuring Nick Oliveri on bass. Three singles were released from the LP. Queens of the Stone Age is an American rock band formed in Palm Desert, California, by Josh Ohm in 1996 after the dissolution of Ohm's previous band, Caius. They have released 8 studio albums, 3 live albums, 5 EPs and 14 singles and have sold more than 5 million records worldwide. 21 members have passed through the band since its formation, with Josh Ohm being the only constant member. They continue to record and are currently on tour in Europe with System of a Down. They will begin a North American tour with Foo Fighters in August.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.